Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
With all the Easter joy that's in the air, let us pause for just a second. And let us ask ourselves, if the events of the empty tomb were invented by the early church as atheists such as Richard Dawkins or liberal theologians assert, it would seem highly unlikely that the early church would have used women as the primary witnesses that first Easter morning. Unless, in fact, it was true. And I would think that any of us sitting here today who were writing our own story to make it up could have done a little better job with names than having every other woman named Mary. As all the Gospels tell us that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb along with the other women, Matthew and Mark and Luke tell us that one of the other women was named Mary, the mother of James, who I believe is a reference to Mary, the mother of Jesus as well, but I'm not going to make that a saving doctrine for anyone. And then there's, of course, Joanna. And Mark includes Salome's name in the list of women present that first Easter morning. But you see, contrary to the atheist and the liberal theologians who make little or no sense to me to even exist, these liberal theologians who deny the resurrection, today our faith seems to be soaring to the heights of heaven, which is why Easter is such a wonderful day for the believer. Unless we have loved ones who don't have faith or have strayed. Let us pause then and pray for them. O Lord, awaken those who have fallen into error and false belief, and bring them to be with us in your house now and in your eternal house forever. Amen.
Amen.
For today we deal with the fact of the empty tomb, not an opinion, a fact. An angel's message, the witness of the women and the disciples. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Today, like each week, we join with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven to celebrate the festival of our Lord's resurrection. But today it's just a little bit sweeter, just a little bit brighter. Everything is so joyous. The music, the hymns, the words, the flowers. Even a brand new Paschal candle that hovers over all candles in the building. Oh, thanks be to God for these joys. And then we hear the angel's words spoken in our text this first Easter morning. Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they had laid him. You see, when the Sabbath was passed, that is after sundown on Saturday night. And we did that last night with the Easter vigil. And by the time all the preparation had ended, they arrived at the tomb early in the morning on Sunday. And the women had bought spices so that they might go and finish anointing the body of a dead friend, their rabbi, Jesus. They never expected the surprise that awaited them as they reached the tomb. In fact, they had been in such a rush they didn't even take into consideration, well, that the body might start to smell a little bit. And then again, who's going to roll away this stone from the tomb? Look at the women this Easter morning. Spices, check. Directions to the tomb, got those. People to roll the stone away? Ugh. But you see, the Father had heard their cry. He had heard their plea. He had heard their question and provided the answer before they even prayed. And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away and it was very large. Please note that the stone is rolled away for our benefit, not for Jesus. As we see this Easter evening, that locked doors and shut windows are no barrier to Jesus, nor would a sealed tomb be. The same is true today. Jesus is present here to serve his body and blood, his blood-bought gifts to us for the forgiveness of our sins, for our life, and for our salvation. He is here just as he promised, for where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. Thanks be to God, our cries of Hosanna are answered, for he does indeed save us by our death-destroying Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Victory. We rejoice today, for Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
All Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome wanted to do was lovingly and respectfully care for the body of this lifeless Jesus. They knew Jesus had died. They had seen the water and the blood spew out of his side. He was dead. And we have to understand, crucifying is something the Roman soldiers knew how to do quite well. They had been crucifying so long that they'd even got artistic with it, if you will. For they had four different types of crosses that they would even use. You have the crux simplex, which was just a straight pole that they would crucify you on. And then you have the crux commissa, also known as a tau cross, where the beam is not in halfway down or a quarter of the way down, but all the way at the top. Then there is the crux decusta, which was a X-shaped cross, getting the name from the Roman numeral 10. And then the crux omissa. This is the familiar one, the lowercase t that we're used to. And we would have to assume the type that Jesus was crucified on, as Pilate had put the charges above his name, above his head, on the cross. So when the women got to the tomb, having seen Jesus hang and die, give up his spirit, and be pierced in the side to where the pericardium sac is obviously punctured, and water and blood spew out, he's a dead man. They were not expecting to find anything different than a body that had been hurriedly anointed and hurriedly wrapped and placed into a tomb so the Sabbath wouldn't be interrupted. But that first Easter morning, they are alarmed that not only had the stone been rolled away, but Jesus' body is nowhere to be found. He has risen, the angel says. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Often we are like the women that first Easter morning. We believe and love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but we act as if he were dead because of the chaos that's in our own lives. Yet the empty tomb calls for the Christian to take a moment to see with your own ears, as you hear the good news, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Now, with eyes of faith, we need not be alarmed when we see that Jesus is living and active in his church still today as he continues to work through his means of grace, his word, and his sacraments. Therefore, the church's message of law and gospel, as God uses his means of grace to remove those things that hinder the right receiving of the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection, just as he removed the stone blocking that empty tomb that first Easter morning. God hasn't changed. Starting in the Garden of Eden with his promise of the deliverer, to Golgotha, where he who once was deceived at the tree are now delivered by the tree of the cross, as the blood of the Lamb kept death away from Israel and the Passover, and it directs us to the Lamb of God who takes death away in his glorious resurrection for us. This message of deliverance receives its amen today in the empty tomb. This is where Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil is fully proclaimed. And so God continues to remove the stones that block our reception of God's good news. in baptism. He washes our sins away, and the Holy Spirit works there to create that saving faith that trusts this gospel message. Your sins and mine are forgiven, for Christ is risen. This is our good news. In the absolution, He delivered it to your ears again today. Your sins are forgiven because Christ has risen. And today, you come today and you receive Christ's very body and blood in with and under the bread and wine. That which hung on a cross is that which came out of the tomb to declare to you and me that death has been defeated, that life in an eternal is yours. And this food of our salvation is just a foretaste of the beautiful feast that is to come. That which is mentioned in Isaiah's text today in our Old Testament reading, a feast is yet to come. See, God is always removing the one thing that hinders the good news of His love for us. And that one thing is not COVID. It is not the world. It is not the news. It is our sin. For Jesus is always where He promises to be. This third day, He's not dead. He had said that would be the case. The Son of Man is about to be delivered in the hands of men, and they will kill Him, and He will be raised on the third day. And today He is living and active in the hearing of His word and the reception of His gifts. Even death couldn't keep Jesus from keeping His promises and being with us even now today. This good news frees the Christian from trying to earn salvation then by our good works and good intentions, as we are declared by grace through faith, forgiven and freed. Not to serve God, now to serve God by serving our neighbors. Not to earn salvation, but rather because we already have salvation. This is all ours through Jesus' death and resurrection. So let me conclude with a quote from the Apostolic Constitutions. And if you'd like to learn more about that, I'll happily speak about it briefly in our Bible class that will follow today. But it's a 4th century catechetical work that is divided into 8 books and is primarily a collection and expansion on previous works such as the Didache, which comes from around the early part of the 2nd century and the apostolic traditions. I came upon this quote and I said, I have to share it. The resurrection in which we believe is that which has already been demonstrated in the resurrection of our Lord. For it is he that raised Lazarus after he had been in the grave 4 days, and Jairus' daughter, and the widow's son. It is He that raised Himself by the command of the Father in the space of 3 days, who is the pledge of our resurrection. For He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Yes. Now the very one who brought Jonah alive and unhurt out of the belly of the whale in the space of 3 days, and who brought the 3 children out of the fiery furnace of Babylon and Daniel out of the mouth of the lions, does not lack the power to raise us up also. Or did you not hear? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Now may the peace which passes all our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.